This is Music Respawn. I'm Kate Remington, catching up with Marcin Przybyszewicz, and it's just so much fun to have a chance to talk again.
Hello, nice to hear you again.
The last time we got together, you were able to just kind of touch the surface of your music for Seven, The Days Long Gone, and now it's been released, and it's such an amazing game, so congratulations.
Thank you very much. I'm really happy you enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah, it's got such a great feel. I mean, the game itself, this kind of, you know, post-apocalyptic world on a prison island where sneaking is kind of like the best way to get by. But what I love about it is, and we talked about this earlier, you really felt that the music was an essential part of the culture there because it's like the one bright spot for these poor people on the prison island.
Yeah, well, when developers approached me, which are, by the way, my very close friends, we started to talk, okay, how are we gonna tackle the subject in our way, basically, because there's actually no point of doing another post-apocalyptic or beyond apocalyptic, as they call it, game, which would, you know, just repeat the patterns that other titles have done in the past. So we figured out that since Seven has very interesting mixture of some futuristic or even some, might would say, cyberpunk elements with medieval, even fantasy ones, and all of that grounded on this post-apocalypse foundation, I proposed at one point that perhaps it would be a good idea to start with agreeing that people who live in this world, this prison island, probably also live with music, because music is part of our humanity and always has been. So we tried to figure out, okay, what instruments would they play, because this is, after all, a prison island where people are left alone, and the whole accommodation or civilization they've built is basically based on whatever they can find lying around or scrap. So I propose that perhaps it would be a nice idea to try the same approach with the instrument. Long story short, we ended up searching for someone who is either a builder of unusual instrument or is capable enough to, you know, in his or her craftsmanship in order to actually build us some weird instruments that would sound like nothing we've ever seen so far.
Yeah, and the blend of instruments is just so amazing. Well, let's talk about Pavel and his instrument collection. He's got this phono fiddle from, what, like 1910?
Yeah.
And it's got that really amazing, like, rusty sort of haunting sound. You know, it almost sounds like a voice, honestly.
Yeah, well, the interesting part about Pavel is Pavel, who is leader of Małe Instrumenty project, which is easily translated to small instruments. He is all about finding rare examples of unusual instruments. His personal fixation is toy pianos, actually, and he owns over 300 of them, and his collection basically makes hell of an impression once you look at it, because there's basically one room filled with 300 toy pianos, which is absolutely weird. But apart from that, Pavel is also collecting old instruments, like this genuine 100 years old stroke monofiddle or stroke fiddle, stroke violin, however you call it. But on top of that, which was the most interesting part for me, because let's say in our part of Europe, it's rather easy to find a guy who would have stored in his basement some old crap, right? But what made Pavel shine is that apart from collecting all of this old stuff, he is also building experimental instruments. So, for example, he would take some pieces of metal, he would weld them together, attach a string, let's say piano string or harp string or whatever, attach bass guitar pickup, for example, and then add the electronic bow for that, for this whole construction, and see how that would sound or put all together. And the best part for me as a musician is that those instruments are actually very easy to play with. They're actually very good in terms of tuning, so they do not lose pitch or something like that. So basically they are, you know, like ready-made tools that were just waiting for us to be found.
That's incredible. And it must have given you so many options for how you could play them, because clearly there's no right way to play them. And
yeah, exactly. There's no academic method how to hold particular instruments or how to approach playing techniques, which articulations one should pick, or other things. The best part is that I think we've recorded about 30 instruments. Out of those, I think almost 20 made out into the game. But I've barely scratched the surface. I spent 3 days at Pavel's workshop, and he actually has 3 rooms filled with stuff. And for my whole stay, we just went to his first room. So I've never even touched his other pieces of collection. So that was mind-blowing for me. And actually, I kind of felt like, you know, a kid in candy store.
Yeah, I bet. Well, and now you've got something in reserve for your next soundtrack, too.
Well, if Seven Mates do the sequel to Eight, perhaps, I would definitely have enough ammunition to play around with, yes.
Yeah. So did he actually play all these instruments, or did you find other musicians who played them in the recording sessions?
Well, he did perform most of those since he is a trained cellist. He's very good with a bow, and most of his creations are played with a bow primarily. But obviously, it doesn't mean that they're required to be played with a bow. If one thing has strings, you can, you know, pluck them, you can bow them, you can do whatever kinds of stuff you would do to them, like banging the strings with the sticks, for example, which would create other sorts of sounds as well.
Yeah.
So he allowed me to play on some of his creations as well. So that's why I found those instruments were rather easy to play, because myself being trained pianist and trumpet player, I'm really not that acquainted to any other string instruments, especially the ones that would require a bow, for example, or guitar playing, which I know nothing about. But still, they were easy enough for me to basically grab them, try out few chords and start recording stuff.
What's really cool about it is that there's such a interesting blend of all these different voices. And one of the cues in the middle of nowhere has this really kind of otherworldly, it's just kind of a scrapey bowed sound. And so that's, I think, one of my favorite tracks, because it really gives you a chance to hear what these instruments are capable of. So that was a really cool track.
Thank you. Well, it's a shame we're in audio podcast because, you know, people say that one picture can transfer more meaning than 1,000 words. The best part, apart from their sound, obviously, of those instruments is how they look and what they have been built from.
Yeah.
So, for example, we have an instrument we called bucket cello, which basically has upper part of the cello sawed off out of the cello. And the whole resonance box is made out of metal bucket. So it basically behaves like a cello. It plays like a cello, but the sound it produces has nothing to do with cello because instead of having wooden resonance box, which was meticulously crafted by an expert in building instruments, the string resonance is amplified with an actual bucket, which creates this very harsh, metallic resonating sounds, and I really don't think that it could be mocked in any other way, to be honest. And actually, that we've recorded like six of those weird creations. I think yeah, even six of those, yeah.
What was the miking technique like for these? Because, you know, you'd want to give them a chance to sound their best. And so did you have to do a lot of experimentation to get the placement of the mics just right?
Actually, the point was to make them sound as bad as possible.
Oh.
Because this whole concept of people of the universe of seven building themselves some instruments and then performing music on them, you wouldn't expect to have a scavenger, for example, build a guitar out of some nylon string, for example, metal bucket or metal box or whatever, and expect it to sound good, like a real guitar, for example. So our point was to make them sound, those weird creations, make them sound as weird and as harsh as possible, and to achieve this impression of having the soundtrack which would actually come from the world of Seven. So in terms of miking, we did actually record it with 8 microphones tops in some cases, 6 in general, but mostly just for the sake of having backup recordings if something goes wrong, because other reason is that Pavel, the constructor, knows his instruments best, so it wasn't up to me to, you know, being intrusive and having him stop every few minutes to basically be smart about stuff. Instead of that, I'd rather just let him play whatever I ask him to play and be sure that, you know, we do not reach clipping levels in our recordings. And basically, that was it.
Wow. Well, altogether, you recorded 50 hours of just raw music for the game. Is that
yes.
Is that typical?
I'm really not sure, because I think my approach to recording soundtrack for Seven, which, by the way, was quite similar to the approach I had with The Witcher, was that normally when I was working as a recording musician, when I was approached by vocalist or band leader and was presented with opportunity to record some tracks for upcoming album or whatever, I would be presented with some composed and arranged piece of music. In our case, however, we didn't have that. We did have a few sketches, we did have composed main themes, well, main melodies, actually, but we are still in this experiment process, pre-production of the whole soundtrack, where we were trying to find this golden formula for us. So actually, rather than having arranged and pre-produced pieces and presenting them to Pavel, I decided to basically build a library of the sounds of Seven and then make use of this library while composing specific cues for the game.
Yeah, that sounds like a much more streamlined way of doing it, really, because then you know what the possibilities are going to be. And you collaborated with a couple of musicians from The Witcher also. So I guess having that library must have made it easier for everybody to kind of keep a consistent sound.
Well, the point is that when you approached, let's call it for now, let's say traditional professional musician, so the one that would play on, normal instruments like violin, cello, harp, guitar, percussion, whatever, you as a composer should expect what kind of articulations are possible in terms of performance, in terms of agility of an instrument, and so on. In Pavel's case, I knew nothing about capabilities of his creations because, I did some research, I listened to a few of his albums, I even found some bootleg recordings of his concerts on YouTube, so I was kind of aware what kind of territory he is in, but still that didn't give me any clue of what particular articulations or playing techniques are possible on those instruments. So I could present him with already composed and pre-arranged tracks that actually wouldn't make sense because his solo lines would be limited by my ignorance. So instead of doing that, I just decided that I will let him loose to whatever he wants to do with an instrument as long as he fits my guidelines. And then I would heavily process those raw recordings and make them integral part of the soundtrack of Seven.
Is that how the other composers worked too?
Yeah, basically, yeah. I was in charge of building this library, so that came first, and then two other composers, Arkadiusz and Jacek, were invited to the project. So they were basically presented with some already tested and implemented approach we started to work towards to lay this library I've created.
It's so cool. And Jacek's track, Broken Shelter, is really interesting because that has a sort of a Middle Eastern, almost an Asian feel to it.
Yes, yeah.
Are there different cultures in the game? I mean, is that reflective of like this melting pot of everyone who's wound up on this prison island?
Well, the idea of having two other guys helping me out with Seven soundtrack was that, by definition, this whole prison island is like a miniature version of the world, basically. So you would expect having different subcultures, different factions, and different cities being built around the island. So that means that, let's say, two neighboring cities would kind of have their own feel or vibe.
Oh, sure.
There is a swamp area where, let's say, people inspired by hippies live. So people who are very close to nature, people who do not use bricks or stone to build their houses or accommodations. So basically all the wood and other plants. So that kind of felt clear to me that since we are having so much significance in difference between all of those places, it would be cool to have other people tackle it with the subject and present their own vision for those places to keep the music of Seven, more ever-changing, I think I should say.
Yeah.
Increase the variety of sound and palette, basically.
Thank you. It's neat because it does give you a sense of, you know, not, it's not like a homogenous, you know, everything's the same no matter where you go kind of feel to it. And because sneaking is, and being stealthy is such an integral part of, you know, how you get through the world and stuff, how did you factor that into the music, like with really tense cues?
That's actually quite interesting point because this was the very first project I think I worked on, which required having every single in-game cue being able to be dynamically switched to something else that would illustrate sneaking as the sneaking is the core feature of the game, because you can basically, well, the game doesn't force you to one specific playstyle. So, for example, if you just want to go full Rambo mode, for example, it's still possible and you can, you know, just kill everyone with some guns or whatever. But when you sneak, you can sneak basically everywhere and at whatever moment. So for every single in-game cue we had to create another layer, another stem of music which would be triggered when a player attempts sneaking.
Wow.
Yeah, quite a lot of work, actually. Yeah,
yeah, I'm sure it was, because not only are you writing to really, you know, use the features of these incredible instruments, but then you've got to think about loops and layers and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Did you use a traditional music implementing software like Wise, or did you kind of start from scratch and build your own?
The game itself is built on Unreal Engine 4, which we did use quite heavily in terms of sound design. But as for all the music-related matters, we did use Elias software, which is called Elias, basically, that means the word, which is quite flexible and capable, a little tool that allows us to do all kinds of stuff with the music. And since it's devoted exclusively to the music and it doesn't handle sounds or voiceovers or other audio sources, it actually is quite comprehensive and very nice, streamlined tool. Yeah, that went pretty well, I think.
That's great, because you want it to be not like this boss you have to deal with the software. You want it to work for you and make things easier. Well, we've talked about the unusual instruments that you found, but you also used some really familiar instruments. There is just an incredible guitarist who is performing on the soundtrack, and he got just this amazing, just really badass sound from his guitar, and it's so much fun to hear that mixed in with all these other instruments. So how did you track him down?
Well, there are actually a few quite funny stories behind all the guitar thing in 7. So the guitarist, Krzysztof Luchowicz, so my apologies for another unpronounceable name, is actually a Polish jazz guitarist, and turned out we had common friends, so getting in touch was quite easy. Quite quickly, we ended up in the studio. And the best part of the story starts when Chris presented me with his arsenal. I knew he had resonator guitar, which was very important for me for the 7 soundtrack. I know he had a bunch of electric and acoustic guitars. But what he didn't tell me is he also owns 12-string guitar, which I absolutely love, because ever since I heard Tristram's theme from First Diablo, I basically fell in love in 12-string guitar. And the moment I realized that we have such instrument on board and we can also record it, I immediately decided to do it and then with that pay some sort of homage, my own homage to Diablo franchise.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's that cue, Sins of the Past. And it just, oh, I love it too. That's one of my favorite parts of the soundtrack from Diablo 2. <too. laughs>
Oh yeah, I loved it. I loved it very much too. Yeah, but the interesting part is also with electric guitars, because nowadays when you think about electric guitars, probably the first that would come to your mind would be Fender guitars or Les Paul or Gibson or whatever. And Chris obviously owns them too. But when I briefed him about the project and shared my vision of the sounds, which was supposed to be rusty, primal, raw, and kind of uncontrolled. So I stress that I'm not looking for perfect performances, which are perfect in terms of pacing, rhythm, phrasing, tuning, pitch, and so on. He immediately responded that he has two old electric guitars from the 70s. The first one is Gretsch. I guess that's it's American brand. The Gretsch from the 60s.
Wow.
It's one of the models that the Beatles used, for example. And the second one was actually Czechoslovakian Jolana, if I'm not mistaken, from 1970-something. So, you know, instrument built with very communist approach, if I can say that. So that means basically it's like AK-47, unbreakable. You can smash that guitar, but it still will work. And the sound, it's not that rounded or that perfect as in Fenders, for example, which were technically, in terms of technical aspects, much more sophisticated instruments than those Jolanas. But in our case, that was the good thing, that Jolana wasn't, you know, that good tool for us, because that meant its sound would be like nothing else. You would have to really break your precious Fender to achieve sounds we did very easily with this old guitar. I'm very, very happy I had a chance to work with Chris and his fabulous collection as well.
That's amazing. That just made me, it gave me this vision of, you know, what's going to be left after the apocalypse, and it's going to be probably cockroaches and that,
and
that guitar. Yeah. And then you had a chance to work with Gavin with Miracle of Sound for that amazing song Keepers. So how did you hook up with him?
Well, we've known each other since our brief attempts of cooperation during The Witcher 3 development. Gavin amazed us with his several fan-made creations based on The Witcher franchise, but yet we didn't manage to actually do anything together for The Witcher. But the moment I realized that we could actually use a song in 7 and that would benefit us very well, I immediately reached out to Gavin and then shared the idea with him and asked if, you know, he would like to actually do something this time together. He was very happy to get on board with that. So we decided that since Gavin has very particular style, so if you listen to YouTube artists, and now Gavin stands out from the crowd, not only because of his, you know, creative juices flowing on constantly and devoted fan base, but also because of the style of the music he's producing. So I've obviously shared our library with him to give him tools and means that would allow him to sound as close to our core sound as possible, but yet still maintain his own original voice. And during our talks, we've decided that for 7, it would be best if we would do something in the style of New Americana, modern blues, modern jazz, modern rock style. Turned out Gavin loves that idea. He told me that he always wanted to do a song in that style, but never actually found a game that would actually fit his idea. So 7 kind of like fell from the skies to his doorstep, and he was very happy and very eager to jump into the project and just do the song, which I think is the highlight of the song, like in general.
It's amazing because it really just captures, you know, everything we've talked about how important music is in the culture, and it's such a, as you say, it's this thing that makes us human. And then his lyrics about, you know, finding a little beauty in the world is just, it's such a great fit. It's really brilliant.
Yeah, well, and there's also some subplot in the song going on, because the whole lyrics of preserving the beauty, as you said, are actually meant to be the manifesto of the arty people. So those hippie-like people I've mentioned before who lives on swamps. So since they're very close to nature and they're like the last bunch of people standing in the fight to preserve nature, the lyrics of Gavin's song actually reflect their story of the tribe, basically. So the song itself has nice connection with the storyline, and to make it even deeper, we've also used part of the song in the swamp section of the game. So it would kind of foreshadow what's waiting for the players music-wise at the end of the game.
Wow, that is very cool. And we'll stop there. I mean, no spoilers. But Marcin, it has been so much fun to talk with you and really look under the hood about how you created this incredible soundtrack. So thank you so much.
It was a pleasure, like always. Thank you very much.
Peoples of the Bible, treasures of the dirt. Rushing stream, we scribble and we sing and dig for the annals of the earth. And we try to keep a little beauty in the world. All that die, we keep it in our hands. In the is rigid, wicked are the pillars, push us till we fall. All this lies, but craving in the rise, still casting a shadow over all. And we try to keep a little beauty in the world. All that die, we keep it in our hands. Oh, we are the Vader boys.
We are the Ellis Tellers.
Tell it to the page. Ooh, we never let it fade.